This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, I have missed you so freaking much. Happy New Year. It's 2026. I'm so excited for everything the year is going to bring. The ups, the downs. We will ride it out together. I'm excited for tonight and tomorrow and every other day. In case you can't tell, I've been dying to get back, but I am here. There's so much to do tonight. There's no way we're going to get through it all. Let me just give you a couple guarantees on things we're definitely going to get to. First, an hour from now is going to be Medal of Honor Monday, as it always is. We will honor a hero. We're going to open the show, and it's going to take a while talking about Venezuela, not just the operation. Of course, we're going to nerd out on that. We're going to talk about the reasons, the real reasons. What's going on globally? What's the Trump plan? What might be next? What are the potential problems? We have so many things we're going to get to there. Tim Walz announces he's not running for re-election. What happened? We'll discuss it. That New York City's going to get worse than we thought. We're going to have to go ahead and destroy Hilton Hotels the way we destroyed Bud Light. All that, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I've been nerding out since it happened. I would venture a guess that you have been nerding out since it happened. I woke up, and I forget which morning it was. What was it? Wednesday? It doesn't matter what morning it was. I don't do details. None of that's changed. I wake up, and I did the exact same thing you do when you wake up. Don't lie. I know you do. I woke up, rolled over, grabbed my phone. In my defense, that's where my alarm is. I grabbed my phone to turn the alarm off, and I think I had 15 text messages from various friends. I didn't know it was going down. You didn't know it was going down. Trump got Maduro last night. Trump arrested Maduro last night. What? In Venezuela. So I know you already know the story, so I won't cover the story. But I do want to bring this up before we go on. We don't fully appreciate how elite our military is compared to almost, well, pretty much every other military on the planet. And there are a lot of reasons for that, which we'll talk about in a moment. But because if you're an American, if you're an American citizen, I know we have people listening all over the world, but if you're an American citizen, you've probably only ever lived in America. And because of that, if that's all you've ever known, you don't appreciate the differences. To be honest with you, I never fully appreciated the differences until I joined the Marine Corps. I joined the Marine Corps. I train with Marines. We go fight with Marines. And then there's a period of time in Iraq where there's a transition. And now some European powers are coming in and they're sending in troops to do this or that. And I remember being mortified at the troops from other countries. Mortified. Not just the Europeans, by the way. I remember before we went to Thailand, we were told, oh, you're going to train with the Thai Marines. And immediately I'm thinking probably the same thing you're thinking. Wow, they're probably going to be some stud jungle fighters. They were pathetic. They couldn't even hump their own gear, whining all the pathetic. The Spanish came in to relieve us from some compound in Iraq. You know, Spain, I realize they're not some military juggernaut, but you're thinking, probably pretty switched on guys, at least modern. Pathetic. Our military is incredible. We don't think of ourselves probably as a Spartan-like culture, but we have a military culture in this country, a rugged military culture that comes from our DNA. It comes from our heritage. It comes from our love of the outdoors, our love of firearms. We have a society full of men primed to join the military if they are willing. we have the resources, the financial resources, to buy the best training money can buy. You got all the bullets you want. We just have elite military personnel. Now, let's understand something about an operation of this size. You could argue, let's call it a raid. You could argue, historically, this is the greatest raid that has ever been pulled off when you consider a couple things. Consider this. Venezuela knew we were there. Venezuela assumed we were coming in. Venezuela is, no, they're not some top-tier military, but they have the assistance of, you would probably say, the number two and three best militaries on the planet. That would be Russia and China. We're better than Russia and China, but if you were ranking them, Russia and China would be second and third. Russia and China were not only invested there, Russia and China were sending equipment there. Equipment specifically designed to stop the United States military from doing anything like it was doing. Anything. They knew we were coming. They had been supplied by the second and third best militaries in the world, trained by the second and third best militaries in the world to stop us from doing it. And still, we flew helicopters into their capital in the middle of the night, killed all the security around their president, and jacked him and his wife out of the mansion, threw them on a ship, and shipped him back to the United States of America without losing a single man. By the way, in case you think this is all going to be sunshine, it's not. We're going to discuss potential problems and what's going on. We're going to get to that. I just wanted to take a moment to appreciate how elite this was. And I'm not just talking about the Delta guys on the ground. I'm going to play something for you. You've probably already heard it. This is Dan Cain. He is well thought of by the actual war fighters in our military. His nickname is Raisin Cain, and on this show, that's how he will be referred to from now on. I'm going to give Raisin Cain the floor. Now, I want you, before I play him, I want you to think about this. If I gave you 20 people, and I had you organize an operation, not a military operation, an operation where one guy had to walk into this office and he had to get a stapler. And the next guy had to walk into a different office and he had to get a blue pen. And the next guy had to walk into a different office and he had to get a package of printer paper. Do you think you could pull that off? How much time and training do you think it would take to make sure everybody knew their duty? It's more complicated than you think. I'll give you a little example. In fact, it's from my Christmas break. I didn't tell you this beforehand because I can't tell people when I'm traveling beforehand. We went to New York City for Christmas this year. We love New York City. We assume we're never going to go back now that Mamdani's going to destroy the place. We wanted a couple more days to go see the sights, eat some hot dogs, look at the Christmas tree, the normal thing. As part of our New York City trip, we decided to do something we'd never done before. We went to the Empire State Building. There were 9 of us in our party. It was a big group. I had all the tickets on my phone. In order to get to the top of the Empire State Building, you had to go through, I think there were 5, but don't quote me on that, 5 different little turnstile things where you had to scan the ticket, one person walks through. Scan the ticket, one person walks through. I'm standing there. I scan. I'm giving orders. I scan. I'm giving orders. We screwed it up 4 times on the way in. 4 times. Someone wasn't listening. Someone didn't walk fast enough. Someone tried to double. 4 times. That's just scanning a ticket to get in the Empire State Building. Now, I want you to listen to the United States military and their operation they just pulled off. Here's Raisin Cain.
This operation, known as Operation Absolute Resolve, was discreet, precise, and conducted during the darkest hours of January 2nd and was the culmination of months of planning and rehearsal. An extraction so precise, it involved more than 150 aircraft launching across the Western Hemisphere in close coordination, all coming together in time and place to layer effects for a single purpose, to get an interdiction force into downtown Caracas while maintaining the element of tactical surprise. Let me talk a little bit about the preparation. after months of work by our intelligence teammates to find Maduro and understand how he moved, where he lived, where he traveled, what he ate, what he wore, what were his pets. In early December, our force was set pending a series of aligned events. The force included F-22s, F-35s, F-18s, EA-18s, E-2s, B-1 bombers, and other support aircraft, as well as numerous remotely piloted drones. As the force began to approach Caracas, the joint air component began dismantling and disabling the air defense systems in Venezuela, employing weapons to ensure the safe passage of the helicopters into the target area. We arrived at Maduro's compound at
He goes on for another minute. I'm going to let him go. This is amazing.
At 1:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or 2:01 a.m. Caracas local time, and the apprehension force descended into Maduro's compound and moved with speed, precision, and discipline towards their objective and isolated the area to ensure the safety and security of the ground force while apprehending the indicted persons. On arrival into the target area, the helicopters came under fire, and they replied with that fire with overwhelming force in self-defense. One of our aircraft was hit but remained flyable, and as the president said earlier today, all of our aircraft came home. Maduro and his wife, both indicted, gave up and were taken into custody by the Department of Justice, assisted by our incredible U.S. military with professionalism and precision. With no loss of U.S. life.
I am so nerding out right now. We continue on. We'll talk about bigger picture things next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. And remember, yes, I'm back. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your history suggestions, which you keep sending in. I haven't decided on one yet. We'll get to all that stuff in a little bit. Couple more things really quickly on the military operation, and then we'll discuss the reasons why and the potential pitfalls and things like that. First, we're all flesh and blood human beings. And when it comes to a military operation, what's the thing we love the most? The Delta Force guys. The Navy SEALs. This was Delta Force. But the big tough guys with the guns. Every dude in the back of his mind secretly kind of wants to be that guy, thinks maybe he could have been that guy. Every woman in the back of her mind has thought, I'd like to go on a date with that guy. It's human nature. It's human nature. They do all the cool stuff. They have the cool stuff. It's human nature, and they deserve all the credit in the world. However, remember, there are so many things that go into an operation like this, things that we never think about. Raising Cane talked about the intelligence gathering. Remember, before any Delta Force guy gets to fast rope out of a helo onto the roof of a compound, long before he gets to do that, there's another guy, there's another girl on the ground writing down when Maduro leaves for work, where he likes to eat breakfast. And that person, if caught in a hostile foreign country, well, Venezuela's famous for their torture now. You realize that. Like any evil, disgusting communist regime, when they get their hands on you, you will not like it. Think about the bravery that takes to be sitting in the woods outside of Maduro's compound watching. Maybe you've chosen to become a CIA asset or any one of the other intelligence gathering agencies we have, and you're a Venezuelan. You've chosen to work with them. You risk everything for that. Now, let's set that aside. Let's not ignore the pilots. Not just the fancy Top Gun stuff. Helicopter pilots. You know how brave it is to be in a helicopter? You ain't moving that fast. Low. People firing machine guns up at you.
You know you are one RPG in the tail rotor away from dying in a burning blaze on the ground at night in hostile territory. It takes a tremendous amount of guts to go do things like that. And as I said, the Delta Force guys deserve all the credit in the world. Make sure we take a moment of appreciation to realize there is a lot of people who risked dying to go pull something like that off. Hard to plan for, hard to pull off, and a very, very dangerous thing to go in at midnight in a hostile land and grab someone. It's impressive. Now let's have a much longer talk than all that. Now that I'm done nerding out, let's talk about the why. Because, you know, you're hearing a lot of things like this.
But we're going to be rebuilding, and we're not spending money. The oil companies are going to go in. They're going to spend money. We're going to take back the oil that, frankly, we should have taken back a long time ago. A lot of money is coming out of the ground. We're going to get reimbursed for all of that. We're going to get reimbursed for everything that we spend.
Okay. You're hearing a lot of things about it. It's the oil. It's the drugs. It's fentanyl. Okay. Is that true? Kind of. Yeah. But that's not the real reason. We'll talk about the real reason. Before we do that, I know for a fact that you are probably a little sticker shocked with the old credit card bill right now. No different in my house. We took a vacation, Christmas gifts. I know. What if I could put $1,000 in your pocket? The average family, when they switch to PureTalk, saves $1,000 a year. I can't pay your credit card bill. Only you can do that. But why not switch your cell service to PureTalk? Oh, but I need good service. PureTalk's on the same network. They're on the same network. I don't want to switch phones. Totally get it. I don't want to switch phones. When I switched to PureTalk, I didn't have to switch phones, and neither do you. Keep your phone. Keep your number. Let's say you're not good at technology. I get it. Neither am I. Their American customer service people will walk you through it, and they won't make you feel dumb. Make the switch. You feel better about yourself. Pick up your phone right now. Dial #250 and say save now. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250 and say save now. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Do not forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. And don't worry, I'm back and I'm not going anywhere for a while. You, me, we're going to hang for a while. Now, the why. Why Venezuela? What is it? Is it about, it's about the drugs? There's a lot of talk about drugs. It's about fentanyl, right? It's about the oil. Lots of that talk. It's the oil. We need the oil. Venezuela has so much oil. Well, there's some of that. Trump kind of gave it away a little bit when he talked about this.
And the Monroe Doctrine is a big deal, but we've superseded it by a lot, by a real lot. They now call it the Donroe Document. I don't know. It's Monroe Doctrine. We sort of forgot about it. It was very important, but we forgot about it. We don't forget about it anymore. Under our new national security strategy, American dominance in the Western Hemisphere will never be questioned again. Won't happen.
Okay. Let's do a little background, shall we, to understand what's happening and why it's happening and why, if you're Mexico, if you're Colombia, if you're Cuba, you are probably having some sleepless nights right about now. What is the Monroe Doctrine? Well, back in the 1800s, we don't have to worry about the nerdy details, we had a president named James Monroe. That's what it's named after. Before we get to James, before we get to the Monroe Doctrine, let's go even further back than that. The founding fathers of this country all had European heritage. That's something important to understand. European heritage. They grew up They grew up watching something. They grew up watching Europe fighting with each other all the time. The various countries of Europe always having a squabble about this or that or this territory. They're always fighting all the time. If you were to do a military history show on Europe fighting, European countries fighting each other, I don't think you could fit it in a year. It would take that long to get into the endless conflicts. And the founders realized that endless wars drain the treasury. They deprive people of liberty in the end because you always have to do something during wartime that deprives people of things. And the founders realized that as they established this country clear across the Atlantic Ocean from Europe, as they established this country, something that would completely kneecap the new country they were establishing would be getting involved in European wars, really foreign wars in general. Why are we getting involved? They're always in a fight. It would be like you, that couple you know, maybe you're related to them, maybe they're neighbors, maybe that's something. That couple you know who's always having some drama blowout fight. They're always about to get a divorce. They're always this, they're always that. Picture you trying to stick your nose in it, or maybe you do this, every single time Tom and Susie had a knockdown drag out after too much vino on a Friday night. What would that mean for you and your happiness in your life? It would be miserable, wouldn't it? The founders had exactly that view about getting involved in foreign wars. Their view was, A, we will protect America at all times. We will protect our trade at all times. We will trade with virtually everyone at all times. But foreign wars are not our problem. If you are a nerdy history person, kind of like me, I would invite you, I'm not going to read it here, to read George Washington's farewell address. Look, you can use it on the Google machine. Look it up on the Google machine. It's very short. George Washington's farewell address. He lays it out. It was not even controversial. That was the doctrine for foreign policy in this country. That brings us to James Monroe. He was president in the 1820s. Again, the details don't matter. That's what the Monroe Doctrine comes from. The Monroe Doctrine wasn't necessarily special. It was really just Monroe reasserting what our foreign policy is. Hey, we are not getting involved in Europe. We're not involved. The only way we're going to get involved with European countries is if they come start some things over here. Now pause. What would they be starting over here? What was Monroe talking about? Well, remember, this was the colonial age. This was the era still on the planet where powerful countries would find foreign lands that had resources or locations, things they wanted, and they would go conquer them. That's what colonizing is. It's conquest by other means, really. People are going to die usually, but eventually it works out depending on the country doing the colonizing, where you step in and you decide, hey, your resources, they're now our resources. You work for us. That's what colonizing is. This was going on all over the planet at the time and before that. European countries, some of them hostile to our interests, were still sticking their nose in countries that were close to us. South America, most definitely. The Monroe Doctrine was, hey, we're not going to get involved in your stuff over there. If you start getting involved in our stuff over here, it's going to be a problem. We're going to have a problem. The Monroe Doctrine, essentially, for the 101 version, is in our hemisphere, in our neighborhood, we will not have trouble. You want to throw used tires and things like that in your front lawn across town? You're welcome to do so. Trash your area. You live across the street from me and try that, we're going to have a problem. Now, that brings us to Russia and China and Iran, if we're being honest, but we'll focus on Russia and China. For the longest time, this started really with the communists, surprise, surprise, the Soviet Union, the Chinese Communist Party, they recognized that South America, really I'll just call it Latin America was an opportunity for them. Not just an opportunity to acquire resources, Latin America presented them with an opportunity to take over governments because there's so much Spanish colonialism that went, that took place in Latin America, and the Spanish did colonialism worse than anybody. They just sucked at it. They would just go steal all the gold and abuse everyone, and they just weren't good at it. And so you had all these disaffected, miserable people. You had all these unstable, corrupt governments, and China and the Soviet Union at the time recognized this is an opportunity for us to not just take power, take resources in these places. This is an opportunity for us to essentially set up shop, set up a fortress, if you will, right next to our number one enemy, the United States of America. They always hated America. They always wanted to take down America. And if you're going to invade, what do you have to do first? You have to move next door. And they have spent decades moving in to Latin America, Venezuela especially. Venezuela's more recent, but Venezuela's just the best example. It's not just the cocaine, the fentanyl, the oil. The truth is Russia and China and Iran, they realize it's extremely beneficial to have a nice little setup just south of America, just in case we need such a thing someday. And of course, the oil does matter. I don't want to be dismissive of that. And it does matter that they're poisoning America on purpose with the help of China with endless drugs. So, what happened? What are we doing? Well, things are changing rapidly on the planet because of the Trump administration. We'll continue on this next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday, only 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday, which I love and I know you love, where we will honor a hero. Do not forget, you can send us your love, your hate, your death threats, whatever you would like, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I will get to those at some point in time. I want to finish chopping away at this. So we have decided, the Trump administration has decided correctly, that we are going to start taking back control of our hemisphere, our neighborhood. Why is Donald Trump talking about things like this?
Cuba is ready to fall. You know?
Yes.
Cuba looks like it's ready to fall. I don't know how they, if they're going to hold out.
By the way, you have to do something with Mexico. Mexico has to get their act together because they're pouring through Mexico. And we're going to have to do something. We'd love Mexico to do it. They're capable of doing it. But unfortunately, the cartels are very strong in Mexico.
Very simple.
Mr. President, Colombian President Gustavo Petro, a couple weeks ago, he said he's got to watch his ass. And today, he said he's not concerned about anything happening to him in the aftermath of this operation. So just what your message is
about
that?
Well, he has cocaine mills. He has factories where he makes cocaine. And yeah, I think I stick by my first statement. He's making cocaine. They're sending it into the United States. So he does have to watch his ass.
Ooh. And look, that's not the first time he's mentioned Colombia. It's been on his lips a lot lately.
Colombia is very sick, too. Run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States.
But it's not about the cocaine. Colombia, Venezuela, Mexico, Cuba. These are the fortresses Russia and China have set up in the Western Hemisphere that allow them to do things in our neighborhood they should not be allowed to do. If you're looking to cast blame, there's plenty of it to go around, Democrats and Republicans. While the United States of America's foreign policy and military has been bouncing all over Africa and every Middle Eastern dump for the past few decades, our mortal enemies have moved next door, and you can't have that. And we won't have that. I think that Maduro is not even close to being the last leader who's going to be toppled. I think Cuba's going down. Well, their leadership. I think Colombia is going down. Now, Mexico is a different nut to crack. Let me explain. Cuba, all right, you have communist leadership there. You have a people sick of it. They hate them. That's prime for us. Colombia, similar. That's prime for us. In Mexico, there's a situation that we have talked about before when Donald Trump talked about declaring war on the cartels, wiping the cartels off of the planet. Because half of Mexico, roughly half the states in Mexico, are cartel run. They are narco states. It makes it more difficult. What does that mean, a narco state? When normal people think about cartels, they think about a couple Mexican dudes hiding out in the jungle, processing cocaine, and shooting people in the head. Okay, that's very accurate. But do you think about them handing out turkeys at Christmas time? Because they do that. Let me ask you this. Do you think about the cartel being the healthcare provider for you and your family? Oh, man, little Billy has strep throat? Come on in. We'll get him taken care of. Yes, this hospital's run by the cartel. Oh, you're young and in love. Isn't that precious? You're going to get married? Great. Come get married at the church the cartel built. The priest who marries you will be cartel connected. Got potholes in your road? Let's pave it over. Who's going to do it? The cartel. They are the government in so many parts of Mexico. It's not just one compound. It's not just one cocaine plant. It's in the bones, if you will. It's in the bones. That's a completely different story. But I'd be worried if I were Mexico.
It's about peace on earth.
How is it peace on earth?
Peace on earth. Bye. We got to have peace. It's our hemisphere. The Monroe Doctrine was very important when it was done, and other presidents, a lot of them, they lost sight of it. I didn't lose sight, but it really is, it's peace on earth.
Now, I'm going to touch on one more thing. Then we're going to do Medal of Honor Monday, and then we will wrap this up next hour talking about some potential problems. And I'll get to emails and Tim Walz resigning and everything else. But one more thing. When the communists took over Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, when they took over Venezuela, they seized assets that belonged to the United States of America there, oil assets. Trump talked about this.
But we're going to be rebuilding, and we're not spending money. The oil companies are going to go in. They're going to spend money. We're going to take back the oil that, frankly, we should have taken back a long time ago. A lot of money is coming out of the ground. We're going to get reimbursed for all of that. We're going to get reimbursed for everything that we spend.
You know what problem I have? Here's a problem I have. Venezuela has a communist revolution and Hugo Chavez gets elected. Okay, all right. That sucks. Not ideal. I got it. They then start seizing assets that belong to American companies. If we're not going to go take them back immediately, why didn't we blow them all up? You can't allow. This is about sending a message. This is why I love what we did, I think. You cannot allow, as a nation, as a powerful nation, you can't allow anyone to take your stuff. Because doing that sends a message to the rest of the world that someone can just take your stuff. In the future, if we lose assets in a foreign land and some scumbag takes it over, can we please drop a gigantic bomb on it on the way out the door? You don't get to steal our stuff. That doesn't happen. That aside, let's do Medal of Honor Monday. Then we'll talk potential problems. Then we'll get to emails and Tim Walz and so much more. Hang on.